I think we all have a dream. I think we all have a dream or an idea that we think, wow, this could really work in this circumstance. I don't know where to start. I really want to do this. Who do I talk to? I need capital. I need some advice. I don't know a darn thing about business, but I do know what I'm talking about. You know what? Maybe you want to be here today where we are. We are at the Investing in Montana Summit live from the AC Hotel. It's put on by the commish, as we decided we're going to call him, James Brown, the Commissioner of the Securities and Insurance. He's also the state auditor. As we welcome you here to Voices of Montana, live on the road once again, 406 in to Bozeman. We've got a good lineup here of guests, and this conference will start in a little while, so there's still time if you're thinking about it, getting here at the AC Hotel. There's just a little bit, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. There's like 10 speakers here. We've got them lined up as well. Chef Eduardo Garcia is going to join us here a bit later on, co-founder of Montana Mex. Dean Folkford. It's been a long time since I've chatted with Dean. I think Hillary is along with him as well from the Folkford Family Foundation. They know a thing or two about business in Montana. And we get going here with our first guest. Suzanne Moline is the CEO of Ember Peak Capital based in Bozeman, Montana. We've just been chatting away this morning. Suzanne, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming on. One thing that you said that she said was it was like money never sleeps, right? So there you are on your phone. There's business meetings going on for Ember Capital, and you're working away. How do you keep that focus? How do you keep it all going?
Well, you'll hear today I talk 100 miles an hour, so that reflects the state of my brain, and that's the speed I like to operate, so it's perfect for me. And of course, I've got a great team, so there's no Wi-Fi signal here that I can get for some reason, so they're going to figure out how to work their way around me and keep our deal moving forward.
Good. You're not even worried about it, right?
I'm actually not.
Yes. Yeah. How do people in business get to that place? I mean, it starts it's a long journey, right? But
it's
how do you
journey.
Get to that place where I am not worried about my business. It's in good shape.
I think that's a state that actually sort of doesn't exist. I think what you do get to a point is worrying about the things that you can exert control over and understanding the things that you cannot control and making sure you build in a margin of error to address the things you can't control. And we'll talk about that more in my talk today. But having like the proverbial buffer and just knowing that, you know, there's the unknown unknowns out there, and you've got to save your energy for the things that you can control. And I think also, we'll talk about this a little bit today, is just having the understanding or almost exposure to all the crazy things that can happen in this life, both good and bad, right?
Yeah.
And giving yourself the opportunity to think about, well, what good could happen? What are all the bad things that can happen? I call it pre-morteming. So again, we kind of get exposure to like, if this happens or this happens, at least I've thought about it. And it's not like the cold water hitting me in the face. You've already kind of like dabbed a little cold water on, and they're like, okay, that's hard. It's uncomfortable, but it's not going to kill me.
You've been on both sides of the table. You've been an entrepreneur, and then you've been a capital investor into entrepreneurship. How does that help you understand what they're going through and make good decisions for Ember Peak Capital?
It really does, because I think of every single business as really a three-part partnership, right? It's a three-legged stool. You've got your amazing, innovative, creative entrepreneur who's going to start the business, and that business is in serve of some need or some customer, right? And then you've got your capital, which you need in order to grow your business. So you've got a tripartite situation with the entrepreneur, the customer, and the capital. And so by having a chance to be and everybody gets some of that right and some of it wrong. And so I think by having the opportunity to literally walk in the shoes as an entrepreneur, as well as walk in the shoes of the capital, I think that just gives me some great perspective. Like, for example, I think people can tend to think of money as sort of like an anonymous thing. It's like, oh, there's just some money, or, oh, it's just these hedge funds or these private equity funds. At the end of every dollar that's out there is a human that has worked, a human that has been paid, a human that's paid taxes, a human that's decided to save that money and, you know, forego some pleasure, some car, or something their kid wants, and that dollar ends up somewhere, and that dollar needs to go to work in order to not get eaten away by inflation, right? So the dollar deserves respect, right? At the same time, I think capital can underestimate how hard it is to execute. Executing a business plan is so hard. There's so much between, like, let's do the idea and then let's make it and get people to work on it. So
yeah,
both of those are really hard and kind of everybody needs to respect. And then, of course, the poor customer's there. Well, what about me, right? I'm the whole reason for all of this. If it wasn't for me, the customer, why do we exist?
How much does human behavior weigh in on the success? I mean, you talked about we're human, and so we have these things. We're also, you know, we have flaws, right? So how much do we need to recognize, you know, our personal behaviors that are hindering our business, or those same things that can, you know, inspire others in the business or move it forward?
Yeah. So I try to think of things not as like good or bad, but like as features, you know, and so some characteristics operate as a feature and sometimes they're a bug. And I think understanding kind of which ones you lead with and in what context they're going to be a feature and what, which they're going to be a bug. So, sometimes what it takes to get to point A to B is not what's going to take you from point B to C. So sometimes businesses are like the Pony Express, like set of characteristics A is going to get you from A to B. But then sometimes, I mean, you see this with these big companies all the time. Sometimes what it's going to take to get from B to C is a different set of personality traits or a different set of experiences. So I think having like understanding that a business is like an experiment, that it's not good or bad. It's like what's happening, and kind of like maybe kind of detaching it a little bit from like your own view of yourself. Like, I mean, really low ego is kind of a pop psychology way of putting it. So kind of when you start getting too attached to like yourself as being part of the success or failure, I think that's when value can really be destroyed, right? Because then you're going to start getting, you know, if people say, wow, this business idea isn't working, then it's like, oh, well, you're not a bad person. It's like not working anymore. So again, viewing it as an experiment.
What do you advise people with? Suzanne Moline is with us, Ember Peak Capital. It's Ember Peak Capital, that's capital with an A, .com for more information. But you've done a lot of wildlife defense systems. You're on the board there, Museum of the Rockies. So I think you understand leadership and the values of good leadership that go into business making. But you didn't start out as a finance major, so to speak. Fold all of that into us. Fold for us what your experience outside of the financial industry to start with and now into it, and how you advise people with those basic questions that they have.
Yeah, so I started out definitely not formal training in finance. In fact, I was a poli-sci major.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's funny because my dad was an engineer and a lot of scientists in my family, and they're like, well, you're a poli-sci major. Like, that didn't like really cut it in a hard science world. And I'm like, it has science like right in the major. Like it says the word, like how can you?
They were teasing you, weren't they?
They were teasing
me.
I'm like, it says science. Yeah. So, and I took a lot of English classes. So, you know, stories are something that I spent a lot of time with. I went to law school because what are you going to do with a poli-sci major? Be a poli-scientist? I mean, there's not like a necessary career path. So it was in working as a lawyer that I learned a lot more about the world. And so the thing about being a lawyer is lawyers, a lot of times you're working backwards. You're looking at stuff that happened like, you know, 2 years ago, right? Or you're looking towards the future, but your job is to go out and imagine all the horrible things that are going to happen, frankly, and then go back to the present and try and paper around it. So that's a little bit of a sideshow. You're either looking backwards or you're kind of on the edge.
Interesting.
And so I was really interested. Again, I have a huge admiration for entrepreneurs. We laud creativity in this country. Storytellers, filmmakers, people who paint. I really have an admiration for the creativity of business owners. I mean, they go out and from nothing, they come up with an idea, they find a need, and they're going to meet it. So I get goosebumps because I think it's one of the great strengths of our country. We'll talk today about why the United States like fosters part of our system, why we foster entrepreneurship. And so you're creating something from nothing. And so I wanted to like be closer to that than just trying to figure out the bad things that would happen. So again, as we've talked about, it's a three-legged stool: entrepreneurship, finance, and customers. And so finance was the way for me to get closer to understanding like everything's got good or bad. It's all a combination of it, but you're going to pick your basket of pros and cons. And I wanted to be part of picking that and kind of living or dying by my decisions about my basket of pros and cons that I was going to pick.
Understood. What do they do best? And they being successful businesses.
I'd say the number one thing is something I just mentioned, is being able to see your business as an experiment. So if we think of entrepreneurs as creative people, I bet they don't just have one business idea. I bet they have 10 ideas rolling around in their head, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's saying, I'm going to take and I'm going to lead with this idea. And it's an experiment. So, you know, you may put it in the autoclave or whatever it is that grows your petri dish, and it may come out exactly what you think, or it may come out wildly different. And being able to look at that and say, wow, my thesis was this, but it turned out like this. That may be good. It may be bad. But if it's not what you think, maybe it doesn't align with your vision, you may say, you know what, that experiment, let's try our next experiment. So I'd say a characteristic of being very determined can sometimes work against you, because if you determinedly follow the thing, the experiment that's not going well, guess what? You don't have the time to go out and pursue the 9 other things that you have. Right. So we talked about, I have a hobby, like I write stories, right? And I write a story, and if like my story is not very good and I spend all my time trying to make that story and you don't like it, then I'm missing out on the 9 other stories I could be writing. Right. So that opportunity cost, I think, is important. So good leaders are able to understand when something has changed from what they expect and be able to kind of like look at the next thing, as opposed to just, you know, doggedly running the thing off a cliff.
Have you ever invested in somebody who doesn't have the perfect business plan, doesn't look like he or she, you know, has it all worked out, but has the passion for it, or you see a spark in there? I mean, what are you looking for? You know, they may not have all their paperwork put together, but still they may be a good investment, right?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely look for that determination. And we'll talk today, like, what goes into cost of capital, why are some things considered riskier than others. I think I'm going to look at the person, and I'm also going to look at the business model, because some business models are just really challenging to pursue, you know, some of the most common ones. So understanding in advance, like, no matter how good somebody is, no matter how perfect they are, some of them are just going to be tough, right? So I'd say I'm probably looking at, you know, you're looking for something where you're going to have wind at your back, right? So that means an industry or an opportunity where there's, you know, growth, right? So like, for example, you know, one thing I'm doing at Ember P Capital is we're an alternative asset management firm, very crowded field. I mean, how many?
Yeah, what does that mean?
How many hedge funds, venture funds, and, you know, private equity funds are there out there? Like, it's a saturated marketplace. So what we are doing, you know, what we look at that's really different is, I mean, wildfire risk. I mean, find me another, you know, how many alternative asset managers follow with that? So, you know, wildfire risk is something, you know, we live with it here in Bozeman. The severity and frequency of wildfires increasing. This may sound really odd, but capital kind of follows that risk. I mean, we've seen the disruption in the insurance market because if people don't understand the risk, they can't price the risk, they won't take the risk, right? And so I feel like we have a role to play. You know, and again, like the history of the firm, that's kind of probably another topic. But we have, we believe we have a very good understanding of wildfire risk, and we can really be shepherds for people who want to diversify their portfolio and provide more capital to it. And there's also kind of an explosion of products and technology that's seeking to mitigate and look at wildfire risk and help it. And we're also in a really good position to sort of look at new technology and be like, okay, well, out of these 10 different things, we think this one's a winner. And if we can help get capital to the right entrepreneur, then maybe those products can help us with this terrible problem, right? And the reason that we have this ability is because, like I said, I sit on the board of Wildfire Defense Systems, and we're really kind of an outgrowth of that. We use the tools, technology, and know-how of that firm from their 2 decades of experience and specialization in structure engineering.
I feel like we should be talking for the next 40 minutes. It seems like you have an awful lot to offer.
I can talk about all kinds of stuff, and I can do it really fast, too, so I could get through, you know, 20 minutes of content in like 10 minutes.
We need people like you. We do, yeah. Suzanne, thank you so much for that.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For sharing some of that as well. She is one of the keynote speakers here today from EmberPeakCapital.com. Suzanne Moline, I appreciate that. I'm hanging around. I'm going to catch all those things. We're going to be talking about that today. Oh, I'm gonna have to listen to that today. So thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. Appreciate that. I see that Dean Folkford is here. Dean, how are you? Good to see you. Eduardo Garcia, too, as well. He made it in. And we're going to have Dean on a bit later on. Eduardo's going to join us next. There's a story here as Suzanne talks about liking stories here. Eduardo's going to share one with us as well. Again, Chef Eduardo, as we come on back with more here, 406 into Bozeman, Montana. It's the Investing in Montana Summit from CSI. That's the Commission of Securities and Insurance, the commish, James Brown, putting this one on. Later on here, we're going to speak with Dean Folkford from the Folkford Family Foundation. Our next guest, Eduardo Garcia, was just talking about how, of course, Dean Wheat Montana, he sold that a few years ago. Eduardo Garcia. Good morning, Edward. Eduardo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate that. We're going to talk about your story here, but I just found it interesting as you're chatting with Dean here a little bit that you drive by his fields, and then you remember how he set a world record for harvest to bakery product, right? And it was inspiring, and your story is inspiring, but talk about how important it is. You know, why you mention that? Why does it still inspire you?
Well, if you've ever cooked for yourself or cooked for others, it doesn't happen by thinking alone, but it starts with thinking. And a dear friend of mine, Jamie Pearson, who's also an entrepreneur and business leader here in Montana, she told me recently, she said, where the thought goes, the molecule follows. And I feel like for a farmer, someone like Dean, you know, my company is called Dream Farm. And I believe we are all our own pieces of seed capital.
Yeah.
And you know, just to piggyback what Suzanne and her session just prior to mine, as an investment banker and someone focused on capital investments, you know, I burnt out as a chef, and we can get into my career if we want, but one of my core salvation mechanisms was just planting seeds, quite literally putting a seed in the ground, hatching a chick, and then going through that entire journey and process until I'm in a position where there's an egg in front of me 9 to 11 months later, or there's an arugula plant in front of me and I can make that salad with poached egg. But it does not happen like that.
Yeah.
And so for a farmer like Dean, who works by the seasons, through the seasons, year in and year out, to establish a Guinness Book of World Record, and the record, I forget if he said it was 8 minutes, maybe something like that. Yeah. But he was able to harvest wheat and transform it into a baked loaf in that many minutes flat. And he holds that Guinness Book of World Record. And I have baked bread a lot in my career, and I've never done it that quick. And so
Not yet anyway.
Yeah. And so the fact that he was able to do it from the field, you know, that's just simply one page in the entire book that says, here's how you even get that soil healthy first to grow that grain.
Let's talk about your story. We're again at the Investing in Montana Summit on Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. Eduardo Garcia, Montana Mex. He is Chef Eduardo. And I started that story because it inspired you. And your story inspires others, I think, in business. And I think anybody who's out there in business, there are days when they need to be inspired. Tell us your story and tell us why you think it has an impact for businesses.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity and sharing the mic, Tom. I'm always sort of pinching myself when I meet someone or am invited to an event like this to speak, because my business, for the most part, has been simply to share my spark. And when I was pre-taxable, maybe when I was 11 or 12, what I knew that what that meant was shoveling the driveway for my neighbor, because first time they needed it, it was just they needed it. And then all of a sudden you got a $5 bill in your hand. And you're like, wow, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, or someone would see you fishing and say, hey, if you catch one, drop one at my house. I love to eat trout. So you would, and they'd drop a $5 bill in your hand. And so I think probably at like the age of 8 or 9, I started to realize that putting time into something would equate into an exchange of values where someone would say, this exchange is valuable to me at this level. And so let's have an exchange, you know? And so really finding quarters in the couch and trying to wait for mom to give me a couple bucks was a zero sum game, because the couch would run out of quarters and mom would run out of bucks. And yet, as soon as I realized that if I just put my energy into something and I extended it outside of my own ecosystem, outside of my own bubble, it would come back to me in some type of a multiple. That was the beginning of business for me and believing in business.
Yeah.
Right. And so flipping burgers at Chico Hot Springs at 15, that was my first taxable business. And so although I worked at Chico and it was not my business, I'd like to think that working as a line cook and flipping burgers and receiving a paycheck for $214, that was the beginning of business for me.
The You suffered an accident, right?
Yeah.
Electrical accident, Montana's backcountry, and it says it nearly took your life. How does that turn you into a successful businessman?
Well, I think that first metaphor was kind of the thing that reigns supreme in that question. Actually, business gets stuck into a vocabulary of metrics and capital systems and global economics, and yet business, at the definition of what it is to use a series of definitions to define a value system. And I think when we as entrepreneurs or we as individuals step into creating our own value system, we are in the business of ourselves. No matter who you work for or who you work with, we are always in our business first. And so how that connects to being electrocuted and finding yourself on a forest floor trying to figure out how to get out and save your own bacon.
Right.
I think that's when it becomes paramount, is you there's no one there to get you. There's no one there to help you. And that's okay, because you're either going to come or go in this life, and it's really up to you to wake up and make that decision happen. I mean, the great statement of my debt, my decision. And so when you're laying on the forest floor and your eyes open up and you see clouds scooting across and you don't quite know that you're electrocuted yet, you just know you're laying on your back in the woods and you see trees and clouds. And so your business, or my business in that point in time, is simply to remain curious and keep breathing. And it doesn't take much. That's almost an involuntary thing. It just occurs. That is the greatest gift of life, is that we are naturally in business just by being alive. And then curiosity is what catalyzes whatever you do with your business, whatever you become. And in that moment, my curiosity was, well, why am I laying on my back? I should get up. And, you know, then you find your way down the hill, and then you realize, wow, my hand is burnt. And you put two and two together, and wow, okay, I got electrocuted, and the rest is kind of history. And I stepped into a place where my agency was largely opened up for others to take care of me, and the surgeons and the nurses and the medevacs and the volunteer fire team out of Gardner, Montana, their business now stepped into mine, and we became partners. And that partnership doesn't always have to be 50-50, but let's say I was given 1% to that equation to just keep breathing, and they were doing 99% of the work just to get me to, you know, get me from that field into the ambulance, into a med jet. Even if that 1% was all I was able to do, that's still 100% of what I get to do. And so just, you know, the metaphor of business, I think, is just what you focus on and you make and you take absolute ownership of.
I like this. Is wisdom that doesn't necessarily come from the kitchen. So I appreciate that. Eduardo Garcia, it goes so fast. I got less than a minute and a half here. What are you doing now? Magnolia Network, Big Sky Kitchen, you're writing a cookbook, chefeduardo.com. We'll catch you up to date. But what's going on in your business?
Yeah. So after a multi-Emmy nominated and James Beard awarded show, Big Sky Kitchen, focused on a show that brings people closer to the soil and the agriculture landscape in Montana. So I'm working on that pilot right now. And next fall, my cookbook is working title right now, but that comes out with Penguin House next fall.
Nice.
And in the interim, I'm just continuing to tell food stories where I can.
What's your 30-second advice to somebody going into business?
To remain curious about how you can add value and make sure to take ownership of defining what it is that you do that's red hot. What do you wake up red hot with every day? It doesn't have to fit into a pretty package. It's just that's your purpose.
All right. So the Magnolia Network, do you enjoy that? The kitchen show?
Well,
you've got to, right?
Big Sky Kitchen was a dream to make, and I'm grateful it's out there. So I invite everyone to go check it out.
Yeah, me too. ChefEduardo.com for more information. And one of the guest speakers here today, co-founder of Montana Mex, it's Chef Eduardo Garcia. good to have you along. Thanks for making us a part of your day all across the state of Montana. Heard from the high line to the low lines, wherever that is. I probably spent a little bit of time there myself. We are live from the Investing in Montana Summit here at the AC Hotel in Bozeman, Montana. It doesn't start till a little bit later on. And what a list of guest speakers here. We heard from Suzanne Moline. John Helley, a co-founder of Duckworth, is going to be speaking as well. So there's still time. This starts at 11 o'clock, and it'll go into the afternoon. If you're interested, if you're an entrepreneur, or if you just need to be inspired, looking for capital ideas, this is really a good place. It's put on by the Securities Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, James Brown's office. And he's unfortunately unable to be with us here today as he is giving a speech at the 150th commemoration of the Battle of the Little Bighorn. That's a big deal going on there. I know he's such a history fan. He does so many things, interested in so many things, but that's where he's at right now. Dean Folkford joins us here from the Folkford Family Foundation. And boy, there's very few names, I think, Dean, in Montana that resonate as much as you have over the years in being. Oh, who's that? Oh, okay, well, here, I'll fix that. There you go. How's that?
Perfect.
Oh, good. Just a little tech thing.
I thought it was my hearing aids.
Well, it could be, right? Yeah. Dean, it's so good to see you here. I mean, we talk about your history. I think we know of your history, the Wheat Montana story there, how your love for the state, I think, inspired this business that took off. I mean, how did that happen? I mean, when Dean and the Folkford family decided to take another step into business, mm-hmm. you know, what went into that pile of thinking?
Well, you know, I think we're lucky that we did it in Montana, where I think it matters. You know, I think that the people of Montana are always looking for a success story. And I think we are all champions of each other here in this state. And we know each other. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it worked out for us, because I think if you would have done it anywhere else, well, it would just have been another business. But, you know, Wheat Montana was probably one of those, we were kind of country when country wasn't cool, you know,
right.
Doing farm to table before anybody really thought much about farm to table and the possibilities of that. And we were in a market then, or at a time when, you know, bread was cool and whole wheat bread and getting more fiber in your diet, and wheat was great. And we were kind of on the upswing there, and probably an early adapter in that regard with high-quality bread products and distributing those in Montana. But you just take one success and you add it to the next and keep putting, try to win the day, you know, one at a time and win the day. And it all adds up. And before it was over with, you know, we had a nationwide footprint. We were in Costco. We were in Walmart. And we were making regular trips to Kirkland, Washington, regular trips to Bentonville, Arkansas. And I mean, just all over the whole map, you know, and it was pretty cool to see all that start to come together and be like that.
When did you know you were in your lane? I mean,
headsets don't work.
It should be. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, super
okay.
Loud.
Oh, it's just a little touchy there.
Yeah, well, we didn't really stay in our lane. I think we were trying to take advantage of all opportunities, but being careful not to goof up what we already had that was working. And you know, one of the early success stories was that little deli at Three Forks. You know,
yeah.
That was one of the things that really surprised everybody, and that paid the bills.
And it became a must-stop
yeah.
for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was where we saw everybody. You know, we would see Taylor Brown in there from time to time.
You could hear him before you saw him, I'm sure. Yeah.
And Conrad Burns would come through, and Max Baucus would come through, and the governor would come through, and all of our friends, and whether they're Grizzlies or Bobcats, you know, they would all stop there.
Yeah.
So we were
there's a story behind that, by the way, but we won't go into it.
We were an equal opportunity restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think that it also gave people an opportunity to taste firsthand the fruits of the labor of the farm, and that was what got us into all the grocery stores and really was sort of the impetus for that, because people knew that they liked the product, and when they tried it there, it was like the Tillamook Cheese Factory story, you know. The dairy farmers get together, they start making cheese, and all of a sudden everybody wants to have that cheese. So we were pretty fortunate the way it worked out, and we had a really good run with our family. Unfortunately, we sold the company in 2005. That was the worst thing that we could have ever done to the company. Great for our family, because we were cashy. And, man, I could walk around, and I was Mr. had money. So
yeah, right.
Which we never had money before, you know.
Well, you're a farmer, yeah. So.
And then it didn't go so well for the company, and then so we bought it back, and in 4 years we were able to sell it again to another private equity company, and now they've done another sale, and it's going pretty good. But honestly, when you sell the companies, it's not the greatest thing that has for the company, because you lose your identity, and you know. All the experts don't necessarily come from outside of Montana. That's one of the things that we learned over and over and over again, that they're just like us. You know, they're trying to figure out how to make things work. So.
Right. One question I think a lot of people ask is, you know, your love for Montana. Why is it? And you kind of talked about it earlier a little bit, but I think that's one of the questions on the table here is Dean Folkford and the Folkford Family Foundation operating in Big Sky Country. Why?
Well, we like unique things, and I think Wheat Montana was a unique business. We bought the Sacagawea Hotel, which was a unique business.
Thank God. I'm glad you did that. Thank you for doing that, too.
And we just like unique things, like the RSVP Motel in Bozeman was a unique opportunity to take an old roadside motel and turn it into something pretty cool. So we like unique businesses, so why not do it in a unique place? And I do believe that Montana really is unique and one of a kind. I've been all over, and, you know, we've talked about it before we were on the air. It's just a unique place. We know everybody. Everybody knows each other. We police each other. If you're a bad dude, you're going to be found out. Mm-hmm. But we champion each other's successes, and I think that Montana is just a place that really exemplifies that.
And now you're investing capital behind some of those people, so to speak. So what does Dean Folkford look for?
Yeah, you know, we don't like plain Jane, blah, blah, you know. Mm-hmm. We do own some hotels that are considered just flags, or we're partners in hotels that are Marriotts and Hiltons and things like that, but there's nothing sexy about that. You know, they make money, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's a great investment.
That's what business is about. So,
but we've just recently done something up in Big Fork with some cottages there, and it's a unique business.
Tell me.
By the river, and
as
13 little cottages, and we remodeled them all, and, well, we reimagined them. That's my daughter's term.
Yeah.
So when you remodel something, it costs a lot. When you reimagine something, it costs four times as much. And so that is how we do it. But we have a really unique product up there. It's called the Cottages at Big Fork, and it's really a fun place and a fun product. And so we want to do more things like that stand out in terms of our own family personal investment, the way we spend our time. At the same time, you know, we're investing in aviation, investing in other things, agriculture a little bit. But ag's a tough market. There's a lot of opportunity in Montana where there probably wasn't when I started in my business career. You know, the latter part of the 80s were tough.
Yeah.
Everybody left Montana to go make money. And that's not the case now. People are coming here to realize their dreams. So.
Yeah. And so the Folkford Family Foundation is not in agriculture, so to speak. You know, you're farming businesses in a certain way. So you've got to put seed into it. And so what do you tell them? What kind of advice, you know, comes off the top of Dean Folkford's head?
Well, first of all, I talk to a lot of young men and women that are trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they're going to college, or maybe they don't even want to go to college. Maybe they want to be an electrician, or they want to be a plumber or whatever. I just tell them, do your thing. Get your thing going. Do your own thing. You can work for somebody for a while, but eventually you got to start your own business and be your own boss and make sure that you get yourself in a position so that in 10 years you got something that's valuable and something that's worthwhile. So, you know, making 50 or 60 bucks an hour as a plumber or electrician is great. And you can do good, and you can have a nice house and things like that, but you'll never have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be the guy on the street that, you know, you can go travel and do the kinds of things that we all aspire to do. So once you buy your own business and give it 10 years, everybody has higher expectations of what they can do in a year, but they underestimate what can happen in 10 years. In 10 years, great magical things happen in business. You got to stick it out. You got to stay the course.
And that's and as an investor, that's something you try to put your finger on a little bit, right? Does this person, do they have that inside?
And we try to be an investor alongside other people with that kind of time horizon, not be the impatient one like the public or the private equity guy that wants a return in 2 years and they're out, or 3 years and they're out. You know, we're the long-term guys, and we want to make sure that we're alongside these people for the 10-year run.
I want to ask you, and this is just kind of off the cuff here too, but you're a member of the Board of Regents as well. And so education, why is that as, you know, a Montanan. Why is that important to you?
Well, I think Hope and I are both firsthand experienced first-generation graduates of Montana State University of the system.
Yeah.
And see what it has done for us. And then our daughters both went to college in Montana, which was a requirement. And they have both done well with their educations and the people that they've met. And so we just feel like without education, where are we? And we have to continue to champion that in the state of Montana. And we have by far one of the greatest our university systems in the nation, in Montana. And it's a great value for our Montana kids that are graduating from these high schools across this great state to be able to go to one of the universities in the system and get an education, whether it's a two-year certificate or whether it's a four-year degree, whether it's grad school. Whatever you want to do, I mean, you can do it here in Montana, and we're going to make sure, and as being a regent, we're going to make sure that we continue to have that kind of quality offered to our Montana kids.
Can't learn everything in a classroom, though. So how do you take that classroom experience and make it happen on the ground?
Yeah, well, I think you have to do some of the classroom work, and you have to have that college experience and learn how to operate outside of your own, you know, circle of influence. Come to Bozeman, go to Missoula, get up to Havre, get to Flathead Valley Community College, maybe it's in Billings, Mile City, wherever. Experience that educational opportunity and then take that out into the big world because you learn stuff.
Are you still a farmer?
Oh, yeah, we've still got a nice little farm there, and there's alfalfa and barley on it. And
can't help it, can you?
You know, you love it, right? Yeah. And I wish I had big farms, but, you know, it was a tough business for us in the geography where we farmed. Kind of one of the drier parts of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And those wheat markets haven't been all that favorable. Once we weren't involved in Wheat Montana anymore, the farm didn't make as much sense. And so it made more sense for somebody else to take that on.
Yeah, well, I still look at those fields, and those are Dean's fields, they're shining.
It's a tribute to my parents, you know, my mom and dad that were resilient Montanans that they had a big dream and they followed their dream, and luckily we got along good enough that we could all do it together.
So good to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Looking forward to hearing your speech today too.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a mantra in our family that if you dream alone, it's only a dream, and when we dreamt together, big things happened. And when we brought people into the company and shared the dream, gave them a piece of the action, it got even bigger. So
I can't avoid asking you, how do you work as a family? Because sometimes there's things that get in the way there.
You know? I get along with the kids good. It's the wife that's a little tough sometimes. But
she's the smartest one of the bunch.
She keeps reminding me that she owns 51% of everything.
And then you figure something else to talk about after that. Yeah. Nice, Dean. Good. Say hello to Hope. And I know Hillary's speaking here as well, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks. It's a joy to be on with you. You do great things out there. Keep it up. We need your voice out there so that we can learn more and become more educated about what's really going on in Montana. So keep it up.
Thank you. I do it for people like you and everybody else in Montana. Appreciate that. We'll come on back, wrap it up here from the Investing in Montana Summit, live from Bozeman and the AC Hotel today on Voices of Montana.
Health can be challenging. You've tried yoga and getting outside, even talking to your plants.
Thanks for listening, Fern.
You're not alone. Sometimes what you really need is another human who gets it. NAMI Montana knows mental health. Our locations across Montana offer free support and education programs for people and families affected by mental health. Participate in person or online. For more information, visit NAMIMontana.org.
Register now for the Big Sky State Games that will take place in Billings this July. The games are open to all ages and skill levels. This is Montana's Olympic-style sports festival featuring 40 sports, thousands of athletes, and one incredible tradition. The free opening ceremonies will be Friday, July 17th at Lockwood High School Stadium. Same tradition, new era. Enter today for best prize.
Big Sky State Games.
Serious fun.
When it's time to move your harvest, you need a rail partner you can trust. And at BNSF, we're more than just a railroad. We're a dedicated team of experts, utilizing advanced technology to serve key agricultural markets with reliable and safe freight delivery across our extensive network. For over 175 years, we've been a critical link in our nation's agricultural supply chain. You can count on BNSF. We've got this.
Every drive tells a story. Coffee runs before practice, weekend getaways, long days on the road. At Tire-Rama, we're proud to keep those stories rolling. We're not a big chain. We're your neighbors. Local experts who know your roads, your weather, and your car, so you can keep doing what matters most to you. Tire-Rama, your hometown tire store and vehicle experts, with more than 40 locations across the Northwest. Visit Tire-Rama.com. Tire-Rama,
we'll get you there. Something big is coming to the skies. The Yellowstone International Air Show returns to Billings August 22nd and 23rd, featuring the world-famous Blue Angels in a high-flying, heart-pounding performance you won't forget. And it's more than just a weekend. Navy Week Billings runs August 17th through the 23rd, bringing sailors, community events, and a powerful celebration of service to Billings. From high sky trails to hometown pride, this is one of the biggest regional events of the summer. Start planning your experience now at visitbillings.com.
We are going to be live from Power 11 tomorrow. That is like one of those quantum computing companies that is like way beyond me. The photonics industry and the quantum computing and the quantum science industry really catching fire here in the Bozeman area. So we'll catch some of that tomorrow on the program. Tom Schultz back alongside Kristen Madsen joins us now, Deputy Securities Commissioner or Commish. We got to shorten that up. Kristen, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. This conference, Investing in Montana, talk about, there's a whole list of really intelligent and great keynote speakers here putting this together. Why does your office get behind this?
Yeah, so one of the things that, you know, the commissioner's office is charged with doing is promoting capital formation in the state of Montana. And this event intends to bring entrepreneurs, investors, people of questions, you know, whether they just have an idea or whether they're partway along, maybe they're looking to scale, you know, maybe they're folks like Dean who've been pretty successful and are looking to make new investments. So one of the ways that we can promote that is by getting everyone in the same room and having a really interesting conversation, allowing people to you know, learn a little, network a little, get inspired, get motivated, have some really organic conversations.
And that's exactly what happens here, too. Networking is vital. And maybe talk about that as in your job as the commish, so to speak.
Well, as the commissioner, my job is not to network. It's to help other people network.
Right.
Although we are definitely a resource. So, you know, you'll hear, if people, you know, come today or stick around, you'll hear me all day pushing the social hour. It's not just a reward for being inside all day. It's because that's one of the most important hours of the day. I mean, that's when real, you know, connections get made, and some great Montana businesses are going to come out of those, the connections that are made today and the real conversations that people have. So we're trying to set people up for that and then let them loose.
Maybe it's not a 20-second question, but what does your office do to help businesses?
Yeah, so, you know, folks have questions about whether their offering or their solicitation of investments need to be registered. Some of them do. They're welcome to call us. We try to answer any question we can. Our office also does a lot of investor protection. So if you're thinking of making an investment and you're not sure about it, you're welcome to call our office. Obviously, we can't give you legal advice, but we sure can help you find out more and help you set yourself up to ask the right kinds of questions.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah. There's so much more to find out and learn here. So we are at the AC Hotel. Starts at 11 o'clock here. I want to thank Ken Edelblue in studio.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.